الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد regarding the beliefs of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat, yesterday we did about the minor signs close to Qiyamah, the major signs, those signs which will commence with the coming of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu and will end with the blowing of the sur, the trumpet, the advent of Sayyidina Mahdi radiallahu anhu. Mahdi in Arabic means rightly guided. Many such Mahdis, rightly guided people, will have come and will continue to come. But the Mahdi who is mentioned in the Hadith will make his appearance very close to Qiyamah, as foretold by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He will be from the progeny of Fatima radiallahu anha through Hassan radiallahu anhu. His name will be Muhammad and his father's name will be Abdullah. He will resemble Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in character. He will be tall, have a bright and broad forehead, and he will have a long, high-bridged nose. He will be born in Medina Munawwara and reside therein. He will emerge at the age of 40 in Makkah Mukarramah. A group of awliya called the Abdal will recognize him whilst he is making tawaf, and they will pledge allegiance to him. A number of battles will be fought with the disbelievers under his rulership. He will eventually be victorious. During his reign, Islam will flourish. He will remove the treasures buried under the Kaaba and distribute them amongst the Muslims. He will first rule over the Arabs and then the entire world will come under his rule. He will restore peace and justice to the entire world. All his actions will be in accordance to the Shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During his lifetime, Dajjal will also appear and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend from heaven and perform his first salat behind Sayyidina Mahdi radiallahu anhu. The appearance of Dajjal, number two. The word Dajjal is derived from the Arabic word Dajjal, which means to deceive, dupe, cheat, etc. Hence Dajjal means imposter, swindler, cheater and liar. Many such Dajjals have appeared. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be 30 liars in my ummah. Each one will claim to be a Nabi, whereas I am the seal of Nubuwwat. The Dajjal mentioned in a hadith that will appear during the time of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu, will be from a Jewish tribe. He will be known as Masih. He will be one-eyed. His hair will be curly. On his forehead will be inscribed the letters Kafara, Kufr, or Kafara, which the true believers will be able to read. This is the stamp of Kufr which appears on his forehead. He will go to Isfahan, Iran, where 70,000 Jews will become his followers. Here he will lay claim to divinity and spread dissension and corruption on the earth. 2 years before his appearance, there will be a severe drought. To test the believers, Allah Ta'ala will allow him to demonstrate many supernatural feats. He will move around with a large army and pillage and plunder many lands. He will then attempt to gain entry into Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. The angels will protect Makkah Mukarramah. Hence, he will not be able to enter Makkah Mukarramah. Then he will proceed to Medina Munawwara and halt on the outskirts of Medina before Mount Uhud. Medina during that time will have 7 gates. 2 angels will be standing guard over each of these gates and Dajjal will be unable to enter Medina as well. He will then be travel towards Damascus where Sayyidina Mahdi radiallahu anhu will be living. Sayyidina Mahdi radiallahu anhu will prepare a Muslim army to fight Dajjal. Whilst preparing for battle against Dajjal, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, resting his hands on the shoulders of 2 angels, will descend from Jannah. He will alight on the eastern minaret of the Jami' Masjid of Damascus. Inshallah, we will continue from there tomorrow. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 16th para was recited, continuing Surah Kaf. So in Surah Kaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned how Allah's help and assistance came to those people who followed divine guidance. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about those people who were youngsters, youth, and they followed divine guidance and Allah's help came to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about a person living amongst rich people. He was also maybe a bit wealthy compared, not extremely wealthy, but compared to the others, he was a bit less wealthy, but he did have wealth with him. So he followed divine guidance and how Allah's protection came to him and Allah ta'ala destroyed those who had abundance, but they did not follow divine guidance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the student of deen who also follows divine guidance and how Allah's help will come to him. And finally Allah Ta'ala mentions about Zulqarnain, a person who had power, and he also followed divine guidance, and how Allah's help and assistance came to him. So all of the people who follow the path, The laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's assistance comes to them. Ya also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and Khadir alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam was a great Nabi of Allah. Allah had given him a lot of knowledge. But however, Allah ta'ala wanted to show Musa alayhi salatu wa salam that one is the knowledge which we have got, and that is the outside, you have to practice on that. But there is another system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which Allah is working in the world. It's a hidden system. And this system favors those people who are pious, those who have got taqwa in them, those who follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though outwardly it might seem to be against the Muslims, against the people of piety. So anyhow, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam goes and stays in the company of Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam. He makes certain conditions with him. And from here, the ulama have taken out many amazing points. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, from this, he takes out the adab and the etiquette of the students of deen, how they must serve in front of their ustad, the respect and the honor, and how they must follow the rules of whoever the institute they are studying. All of these things have been taken out from the study of Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So anyhow, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam goes and stays with him. Three amazing incidents happen in front of Musa alayhi salam. They are moving on a ship, and Khidr alayhi salam, these people helped and assisted them. They were pious people. But Khidr alayhi salam goes and he damages one portion of the ship, which eventually causes the ship to sink. So harm came to the ship. And then they go to another person, an innocent young child, and Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam kills him. And now, as an innocent person, you can't just murder him like that. And then the third thing is, they go to one town, and the other people are very stingy people, not prepared to give them any food. They ask the people for food, they're not prepared, whether it is compulsory in an area where there is no place for people to eat. It's compulsory upon the people to look after the mihman and the guests. So then they come to the edge of that area, and one wall is about to fall down. So Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, without taking any money, he lifts up that wall and he puts it back straight. And Musa alayhi salam was surprised, these people are so stingy, you could have taken some money from them. Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam says that now I'll inform you of the reality of these things. As for the ship, they were owned by some pious people, and they used to work in the ocean, so I made a fault in it, because there was another king coming later on, an oppressive king, he was taking away all of the ships. So at least these people, they will have their ship, there was a fault in it. When the king will see that fault, they say, we can't accept the ship here. So outwardly there was a fault in the ship, little bit of harm came to the ship, but the whole ship was saved. And now the people will get their whole ship will be protected for them. This was because of their piety, Allah Ta'ala protected him. So even though harm outwardly was coming to the goods of the pious people, but in there was protection for the people of Iman. And the second one was the youngster who I killed. His parents were very pious people, and we were frightened that this child will grow up and he will cause his parents to become astray. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took this child away in his youth, and Allah wanted to give them somebody far better, according to some ulama. One daughter was born to them, and she became the mother of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So what a great honor was given to the parents because of that. So they lost one child, but they got something far better in return. And as for the third thing, he says that there was that city we went to, and the wall which was about to fall down, there was a treasure under that wall. Two youngsters, yatims, orphans, they owned, it was actually their wealth, and their forefather was a very pious person, either the father or the forefather of seven generations before. So because of his piety, we wanted to give the children, their inheritance, their wealth, we wanted to protect it for them. So we looked after, we put the wall straight. So when they become big, then they will be able to remove the wall and take out the treasures from underneath. Because now if the wall fell down and the treasures became exposed, then the people would have taken it away. So the ulama, right, they say that in all of these incidents here, because of the piety of those people, Allah's help came to them. Even though outwardly it seemed the child was killed, it seemed that the ship was damaged, it seemed that the wall, it was straightened up, which was for evil people. So actually what is being done even to evil people is not in their benefit, it's against them. And what is being done for the believers outwardly, it might seem to be against them. But in the final result, there's goodness for a person. And if a person looks in the whole world now, what is happening, many times we see what's happening to the Muslim people, and our hearts should feel sorry for them. But Allah has got His divine plan, and Allah has got His divine wisdom. Like 200 years ago, it happened in the world, where so much of zulm was done by the English people, and they took all the Muslims from different countries as slaves, to different areas in the world. But who could have imagined that 200 years later, you go to those countries now, you go to England, you go to France, there's so many masajis, so many Muslim people, thousands, and how Islam is spreading in those countries. 200 years ago, no one could ever imagine that this is so much of oppression is taking place. But it was a means for Islam to spread. You go to America, you go to South America, people are becoming, and how many Muslims there are, and how Islam is spreading in those countries. If that hadn't happened, these people wouldn't have landed up there. So Allah has got His own divine plan and system. Our minds are too small to fathom it. We will say that my mind is too small and Allah knows everything best. So this is the lesson we learn from the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam, that there are certain outward things that are happening in the world, but behind them is the divine system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the divine system favors those people who have got piety within themselves, the Muslim people. Then the final story Allah mentions about Zulqarnain. And Zulqarnain was a powerful ruler. And Allah ta'ala shows when a person has got power, then also he follows divine guidance, how Allah's help and assistance will come to him. The object of these pious rulers is the people who are being oppressed, they must try to help and assist them, take them out of the oppression. So this was what Zulqarnain was doing. And he went, there was a tribe, the Yajuj and Majuj. In that time they were causing a lot of trouble in the earth. So the people asked Zulqarnain to please help them. He said, no problem, I will help and assist you. And I don't even want any money, but you help me with the goods, you bring it and assist me to build up this place. So anyhow they came. So here also the ulama say, Allah will inspire the people of piety with what ideas and thoughts and technological advancements. The people will be shocked and what things they will create. And by means of this, they will be able to remove oppression from the world. Like how it happened to Zulqarnain. If you look at Sultan Muhammad Fatih, when he conquered Turkey, at that time also the things he had made, if somebody studies the history, you will find what an amazing system, how Allah Ta'ala inspired him, and what he made at that time to cross the lands and to attack the non-Muslim people, which outwardly seemed it is impossible to ever break that fortress. Hundreds of years people tried to attack and take over that land, they couldn't do it. But how Allah Ta'ala inspired him. So a person who has got piety within himself, Allah Ta'ala inspires him. So Allah mentioned this. And then finally at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, but all of this must be done with ikhlas and sincerity. Whether you are staying in a cave, a spiritual cave, whether a person is a powerful ruler, whether a person is a student of deen, whether a person is a wealthy person, all of this is a person has to be doing it with sincerity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the person will be the suffer the most in the year after. He will find his actions to be at a complete loss. He's a person who made effort in his worldly life and he thought he was doing a good actions, but there was not sincerity in his life. He never had ikhlas. So everything will be completely destroyed from that person. So very important for a person to have sincerity. And the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great, a person can never ever imagine that if the oceans were also became ink to write the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oceans will come to an end. But the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah ta'ala will never ever come to an end. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great and so powerful. So anyhow, to tell him, O Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I am a human being like you people, I've come to with wahi and revelation. You must only worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have ikhlas and sincerity. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ Whoever hopes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا He should do good actions, and he should not take any partners in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, ikhlas, sincerity. The sum total of the surah is, you will do all the good actions, but do it with sincerity. Allah give us true understanding. Then the next incident, the next surah is Surah Maryam. So in the surah before this, Allah Ta'ala mentions His help and assistance to general people. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His help to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, how it came to them also. But they also turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He called out to Allah and he asked for the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wanted a child who will continue his legacy of deen after him. He had become an old person at that time. And he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the depths of the night, in the darkness of the night. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. And even though outwardly it went against the normal means, an old woman, she was barren. And now at that old age for her to give birth. But anyhow, Allah ta'ala, he works with means, without means or against means. So ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed against means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was working. And eventually the child was born, Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam. And he was to be a helper of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many qualities of his. That he was very, very soft natured, and he was a pure person. He was a person of taqwa and piety. He was very particular about being kind to his parents, and he wasn't a person who will oppress people. He wasn't a person who will break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of this, salamun alayhi yawma wulida wa yawma yamutu wa yawma yub'athu hayya. That Allah's peace be upon him. The day he was born, the day he will pass away, and the day he will be resurrected on the day of qiyamah. So ulama say that these are three times in a person's life when he comes into a different world. The day you come in this world, the day you are born, where you are in the womb, alim arwah, in the womb of your mother, this is a different world completely. So a child comes in the world, he gets a shock, he starts crying. So this is one big stage in a person's life, he needs the salamati and protection of Allah Ta'ala. The second time is when he dies. At that time also the eyes will close, and you will think, start seeing another world. So this is the time when also a person needs the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after coming up from the grave on the day of Qiyamah, he'll be resurrected. This is the time also when a person needs the protection of Allah ta'ala. When we make salam to one another, assalamu alaikum. So actually we should make intention that, and assalamu alaikum is jumla ismiya, which shows dawam, continuation. So may Allah ta'ala keep you at peace in this world, and then at the time of death, in the year after also. So this is a very beautiful dua. It's a dua of continuation. And we all need the salam. That's why we make more salam to other people and they make salam to us. So inshallah, this is a dua of protection for a person. And we need this protection throughout our life also. But more important at the time of death and the day we are resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. Then Allah mentions the incident of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the normal asbab and means, without the father, Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha gave birth to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. This incident is mentioned here in detail. And all Allah ta'ala wants to show us is that everything is happening by the permission and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person being born with means or without means or against means, it's all within the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It didn't make a person a deity or a god, but it made us understand the qudrat and the power of Allah and the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the manifestation of Allah's power, and not start worshipping Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So anyhow, Allah mentions in detail how Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born and he came in this world. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, how Allah's help and assistance came to him. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went to his idol worshipping people, and his father was one of the leaders of the idol worshippers, and he explained to his father, but they were not prepared to accept, and they were actually harsh to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Then eventually he says, I will make hijrat and I will leave you people. I'm going to go away, but I'll make dua for you people. Allah must guide you people and put you on the right path. And he said, I'm going to leave you people, and whatever you are worshipping besides Allah ta'ala, I'll make hijrat, I'll sacrifice my hometown, where a person was living his whole life, and he sacrificed that, and he left his parents also. But Allah ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَعْتَزَلَهُمْ, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam separated from them, and whatever they were worshipping besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah says, he left something for the pleasure of Allah, he left forefathers who were idol worshippers, Allah in place gave him children, who were Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, وَهَبْنَا لَوْ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبُ, we gave him Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, a child, and Yaqub alayhi salam, a grandchild, the progeny continued. And we made him Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. And وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا, we granted them our great mercy. We granted them لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيَّ, people will always speak good about them. We granted them Islam. He left the worship of false idols. Allah gave him Tawheed, and Allah made him the father of Tawheed. Till the day of Qiyamah, people look up to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as the father of Tawheed and the oneness of Allah ta'ala. Whoever will leave out anything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give him the same thing back in a halal way, or something far better and far superior. Imam Razi rahmatullahi says that ma khasira ala Allah ahadun, no one can ever lose out in his dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam dealt with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he sacrificed for Allah's deen, Allah ta'ala gave him something far better and superior in return. So he says, look here, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he made the sacrifice of his parents, what Allah ta'ala granted him in place of the sacrifice of his homeland. Allah ta'ala gave him two lands. Masjid al-Aqsa was given to him by Baytul Maqdis. Ishaq al-Islam lived there, and Allah granted him Makkah Mukarramah. He left the land of Iraq, and Allah gave him two lands, which are the lands of the pious and the righteous people till the day of Qiyamah. So subhanAllah, whoever will sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will grant to them. And then Allah mentions other incidents of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah said, all of them, we had sent them our favors because they were righteous people. On the other hand, some people came after them and they destroyed their salat. So it shows the importance of salat, because salat is the thing which will connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest ibadat after iman is salat, because this connects a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, they came after this and they destroyed their salat and they followed their desires. So these people, unfortunately, they will be completely at a loss. They will be in complete destruction. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the day of Qiyamah, that what Allah ta'ala has kept on that day, and the people who were following shaitan and did not follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be completely destroyed. People will come on the day of Qiyamah, they will be completely alone, frightened, because they did not follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, those who had followed Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, there will be glad tidings given for those people, and those who did not follow, the warnings given for those people. And Allah said that you people will be destroyed also. Look at the past people. Can you see any of them today? As you can hear any sounds of theirs, they have been completely destroyed. They came in the world, whatever they had, but eventually this came to an end. Then the next incident is of Surah Taha. And Surah Taha is similar as the themes before. Ya Allah's help and assistance on one person, Allah mentions in great detail the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And why Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, their life has got, there's a lot of similarities between them. between Musa alayhi salam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like for example, Musa alayhi salam was sent to Ummat da'watan ijabat. He called people towards Allah, and then those people who followed him, he had to give them da'wat and explain to them and bring them on the right path. Similarly, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given a similar work and effort. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, O Nabi alayhi salam, we have not sent this Quran Sharif upon you so that you can go into difficulty, you go into problems. The Quran Sharif came down as a means of hidayat and guidance for people. And look at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when then Allah ta'ala mentions in detail how Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was in Mount Tua and he got wahi and revelation. Like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was in the cave of Hira and he was staying in solitude, and Nabi alayhi salam got revelation. And anyhow, and Allah ta'ala came to Musa alayhi salam and told Musa alayhi salam, the wahi came to him. And Allah Ta'ala showed Musa alayhi salam great signs. He was given the message, he must go to Fir'aun and his people. Outwardly, going to a person like Fir'aun, one man, against a whole huge kingdom, it seemed like something impossible. But Allah Ta'ala says, it's not impossible. Similarly, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one man standing up in Makkah Mukarramah, which is the land of idol worship for hundreds of years, it seemed impossible for Nabi alayhi salam to make a change there. But Allah's help was with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so he's giving the incident of Musa alayhi salam, and said, go to Fir'aun now, and make dua to Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi shrah li sadri, O Allah, open up for me my chest, give me that forbearance, hilm, and tolerance, and knowledge, wa yastir li amri, make my work easy for me, wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli, and remove the stutter from the knot from my tongue, so people can understand me. So anyhow, Musa alayhi salam made his dua. Then Allah Ta'ala, he asked also for a helper and assistant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. He was worried to go. Allah said, remember when you were born, how we helped and assisted you against all odds. Outwardly it seemed that you'll be destroyed. The whole army of Fir'aun was against you. And you were one small baby in the ocean, in the water. How Allah helped you at that time. So now you're a big person. And now you're going to go to Fir'aun. What difficulty is there for Allah Ta'ala to protect and save you and help you? Because if you think about it, Fir'aun had the whole army. If he wanted to, he could have just told the army, go and kill Musa alayhi salam. Finish. But Allah Ta'ala put that fear in the heart, that awe in the heart of Fir'aun. He couldn't do this here because Musa alayhi salam was divinely protected. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his brother go, and Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِ, you are going for this gush to call Fir'aun to Iman, but do not become lax in my zikr. Continue making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will give life to you people. And also when you speak to Fir'aun, speak to him, قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا, speak to him in a nice way, in a soft way. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى, perhaps some nasihat, he will accept the nasihat and advice immediately. Or some fear of Allah will come into his heart and slowly, slowly he will come on the right path. But you speak to him in a good way, even though he's the worst enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the adab and etiquette of da'wat, when a person is calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyhow, they go to Fir'aun, they give him the da'wat, Fir'aun is not prepared to accept. They explain the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun, he tries to show Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to be wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala system, that Fir'aun, he brought all his magicians to show the people that Musa alayhi salam is a liar. Allah used the same magicians to prove the truthfulness of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Enemies will make propaganda against Islam. The same propaganda will backfire against them. For example, in many of the countries in the world, they are all of propaganda against women. Islam got no women's rights, etc. But the most amount of women in those countries are accepting Islam. So the more propaganda they will make, Allah will open up to them. The same plans they are making, Allah will use it against them. And eventually their plans and plots will come to an end. So anyhow, the same magicians, Allah Ta'ala gave them hidayat and guidance, and they had extremely strong iman. Then anyhow, Fir'aun and his people are destroyed, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam now is going, he's going with the Bani Israel, and he now the efforts he has to make. Amongst them, they are munafiqs, they are hypocrites like Samiri. As an example of Nabi alayhi salam, he's going to go to Medina Munawwara, he's going to establish Islamic Khilafat there, but there will be the group of munafiqs and hypocrites amongst you, who will cause a lot of harm to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but finally they will be destroyed. Their efforts won't bear fruit. And whatever what Musa alayhi salam did, he was successful. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will do also, he will be successful, despite all the threats of those people around him and the harm they will try to cause. And there were those people also, outwardly, they had done some good to Islam. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the munafiq, the hypocrite. But he was a hypocrite. Outwardly, he had given help Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in certain battles. But behind the back, how much of harm they had caused to the Muslim people. Similarly, in today's time, we get some people, outwardly, they make a big noise that we are with the Muslims, we help the Muslims. But behind, how much of zulam and oppression they had caused on the Muslim people, how many Muslims they killed, and how they had the kuffar. And today that person is killed and people are calling him a martyr. Na'udhu billah. These are the munafiqs, the Shias are the munafiqs of the ummah. Now ulama say, whatever qualities of the munafiqs you want to find in the Quran, you'll find it in the Shias also. So they are till Qiyamah, they will continue this one jamaat of hypocrites. And the same things which happened in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, how they eventually لا تصلي على أحد منهم مات أبدا ولا تقوم على قبري. Don't perform namaz upon them. Don't stand on their cover. They don't believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the same things which are found in the munafiqs. The Samiri also was a munafiq, a hypocrite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about him here in the Quran Sharif, and how Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had to punish those people who followed Samiri, and eventually Allah ta'ala accepted the tawbah of those people. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the akhirat, the life of the year after, because one of the main things is the people who deny, they are not prepared to accept akhirat, the life of the year after. This is one of the main, in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, also in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, akhirat, the concept of akhirat is not there. And one speciality of the nabuwat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the amount which he has spoken about akhirat, especially in the last 10 paras of the Quran, last 10 juz. No other Nabi of Allah ever came before, and he mentioned in so much of detail regarding akhirat, regarding the life of the year after. This is one speciality of the nabuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that the amount of he spoke about akhirat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions eventually about Iblis, and how Iblis, he tried to, our forefather Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he tried to divert him from the path by material things, outward material things. And this will be his effort right till the day of Qiyamah through materialism. And if we make a mistake, we slip and fall because he deceives the person in different ways, then the door of Tawbah is open for a person. And when Adam alayhi salam was sent in the world, Allah said, I'm sending hidayat and guidance with you, O Adam alayhi salam, and they will always be my Anbiya alayhi salam will be coming. Whoever follows my guidance, فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى, he'll never become misguided, he won't fall into the difficulty. But وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, who turns away from my obedience, my zikr, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, for him will be a very straitened life. Even though outwardly he might have abundance of goods, but his life inside will be constricted, it'll be straitened. And on the day of Qiyamah, we will resurrect him as a blind person, because he was blind in this world, he did not see the clear signs of Allah, so he will be blind on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, why are we not punishing them in this world? Because we are giving them respite. This is our system in the world. So don't look at the people and the kuffar and disbelievers, but open your eyes and look at the enjoyments we have given them. This is a mere examination for them. What Allah has kept for the pious people is far, far greater, and that will remain forever and forever. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we destroy them earlier, then they will say, oh Allah, we never have a chance in this world. So I'm giving them chance, I'm giving them respite. So on the day of Qiyamah, no one will have any chance to say that I never have chance in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everyone is waiting now. The pious people will see eventually what Allah will keep for them, and the kuffar and disbelievers will finally see the harmful results which will come to them. Allah give us piety, taqwa, become the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah's help and assistance will always be with those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.